Well, good morning. It's good to see you this morning and good to be in the Lord's house today. I hope that you are taking time to enjoy this season of the year. Sometimes we get so busy and running here and there and doing this and that that we seldom take time just to be still and be quiet. Really think about the special season and the special occasion that Christmas brings into our lives. This morning, I'm going to have you turn with me, if you will, to John's Gospel. We're going to look, first of all, at two verses, John 15, 26 and John 16, verse 7. I want to talk to you this morning about Christ's gift to the church. Christ's gift to the church. We talk a lot about gift giving this season, and we do a lot of shopping, a lot of inquiring. What do you want? What's your most important thing that you'd like to have, and so on and so forth. But Christ gave a very special gift to the church that I'm afraid we sometimes not just forget, but we overlook. In John chapter 15, verse 26, as he nears the end of his earthly ministry, Jesus says this, "But when the Helper comes, whom I shall send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who proceeds from the Father, he will testify of me." Down in chapter 16, verse 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." Now, we acknowledge that Christmas is the time when God gave the most special gift of his Son, Jesus Christ, to this world. But there is another day that is also a very special day, but it's a day that largely goes unnoticed by the majority of Christians. It's the day we know as Pentecost, because on that day, Jesus Christ gave the gift of the Holy Spirit to the church. As I said, it largely goes unnoticed by the majority of the Christians. But it's a gift that is often ignored, it's often overlooked, it's often misunderstood, and most of the time just absolutely forgotten about. But this gift of the Holy Spirit that Christ gave to the church is absolutely essential to the church becoming a living, viable entity that Christ intended it to be. J.I. Packer said that the Holy Spirit is the Cinderella of the church. And what he meant by that is this, that very few Christians seem interested in really knowing him. He is often ignored, overlooked, and all those things because Christians have taken little interest in really trying to know this wonderful gift that has been given to each of us and to the church. And because of that, we flounder and we struggle and we have a hard time really living out the life, the faith, the belief that God has given to us when we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, every Christian knows that if Jesus had never come, there would be no Savior, there would be no salvation, there would be no forgiveness, there would be no hope of eternal life. But many Christians really have no idea what difference it would make if there were no Holy Spirit in the world. That's how much I think he has been ignored or misunderstood. We seldom refer, we seldom go-to. We seldom find that we need God's Holy Spirit living within us and helping us to live the Christian life. So this morning we're going to look at just two things very quickly. The first is this promised gift. Now, you know, Jesus said something very interesting in that 16th chapter and verse 7 when he said, "It is to your advantage," or "it is for you expedient that I go away. Because if I don't go away, the Helper will not come to you." Now, what does the Bible mean when it talks about the promise of the Holy Spirit to God's people and to God's church? You know, one of the earliest statements in regard to that promise is found way back in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel chapter 36. If you have your Bible, you may want to turn back there, because God says something through the prophet Ezekiel about something that's forthcoming. He says in verse 26, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." Now just imagine going all the way back 600 or 700 years before Christ and before the church. God made this promise. He said, I'm going to do something. I am going to put my own spirit within your life. And he is the one that's going to help you to walk out my commandments, to be obedient to what I have called you to be. And then Jesus, picking up on that very thought and promise, just prior to his ascension, said this in Luke chapter 24 and verse 49. He said, "Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high." There it is again, Jesus remarking about the promise that God had made and that God would be sending to his people. Going all the way back, I think Jesus is referring to that passage in Ezekiel. He said, there's a promise that's coming. There's a promise that's going to be fulfilled. And that promise is this gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you look in John chapter 14 for just a moment, and verses 16 through 18, it is unmistakably clear what Jesus is speaking of when he says these words to his disciples. He said, "I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." Now, who is the Holy Spirit? For just a moment, let's just define who he is. Well, he is a person of the Trinity. He is God, the Holy Spirit. He is one with the Father, just as Jesus is one with the Father. He is the full personality. He is the full identity of Jesus Christ living in us who are believers. Now think about that for just a moment. God said, "I'm going to put my spirit within you." Jesus said, "Don't do anything until the Spirit comes to live within you." Jesus promised, "I will not leave you as an orphan. I will come to you." And so when we have Christ in our life, we have the very Spirit of the Lord Jesus Christ living within us. Now the Bible calls him the Spirit of Truth. He calls him the Helper, the Counselor, the Comforter. He is not an it. He is not a force. The Holy Spirit is a person that God gives to believers in Jesus Christ. He gives you that gift. Now, the most important question any person, I think, could ask about the Holy Spirit is this: when did I receive him? Well, the Bible says that you received him the moment that you acknowledged that you were a sinner, the moment that you realized you were separated from God, the moment you are willing to say, I need my life to be changed, and you ask Jesus Christ to come into your life, that is the moment that the Holy Spirit comes to live within you. Now think about that for a moment. You may have been 8, 9, 10 years old. You may have been much older. But the moment that you prayed, you understood, and the Holy Spirit convicted you of your sin and of your need of Christ, the moment that you prayed and asked Jesus to come into your life is the very moment his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, came to live and indwell your life. Now, when we receive him, we receive him as a gift from God. Do you remember on the day of Pentecost, the day the Holy Spirit came like fire and like a mighty rushing wind? And people gathered, and Peter began to preach. And he preached a very simple sermon about, really, the crucifixion and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And people, it says, were cut to the heart. In other words, the Holy Spirit convicted people of their sin. And they said, what must we do? And Simon Peter said, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and ask for the remission of your sin. And he said, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, you may think you've gotten a lot of wonderful gifts in your life. Maybe you have. But you've received the greatest gift you'll ever have when you receive the Holy Spirit of God, God's gift to you in your life. Because that signifies that you are not only forgiven, but now you have been made right with God, and God sent his Spirit to live within your life. And once the truth of that amazing truth becomes a living reality embedded in your daily life, in other words, when you really come to the realization that I am indwelt by the very Spirit of the living God, he lives within me, you begin to realize then that you're never alone. You are never without hope. You are never without help. You never need feel inferior or insecure, because the Helper, the Spirit of the living God, is living in your life. Now, the Bible says he does a lot of things, but I want to just mention three that I think he gives to us, the Holy Spirit. First of all, he gives us wisdom. He gives us the wisdom to live life. He gives us the wisdom to make wise decisions. He gives us the wisdom to raise our families. He gives us the wisdom to have godly relationships. The Holy Spirit gives us the ability to look at life through spiritual eyes, that is, through the eyes of God. We see the world the way that God intended us to see it. But secondly, he gives us perseverance. You see, the Holy Spirit gives us courage. He gives us strength. Think about the disciples. When Jesus was crucified, they scattered, and then they hid. They were frightened. They thought, we're next. We're going to be crucified. And so they sort of moved into the shadows and out of the spotlight. They didn't want anybody to know that they were really followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then Pentecost came, and they came out boldly, unafraid. They began to witness, they began to preach of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And the Holy Spirit is the one who gave them both courage and strength. And He'll do the same for us. He gives us strength and courage in our trials. He gives us perseverance during the dry spiritual times of our lives. He helps us through our disappointments and our failures. He gives us the staying power to continue to grow and to seek Jesus Christ in a more personal way. You see, He gives us something that we never would have in ourselves. But He also gives to us assurance. The assurance that we belong to God. I love this verse in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13. It says, "In whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom you also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory." What He does when He comes into our lives, it's as if He seals us with the awareness, the knowledge, the assurance that we belong to God, that we are now saved. In fact, Paul would write in Romans 8, verse 14, he said, "Those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God." The amazing thing happens. The Holy Spirit begins to work in our lives. He assures us. He gives us perseverance. He gives us wisdom. He gives us the ability to live a changed, dynamic, Christ-honoring life if we will surrender our lives to Him. You see, that's the point where a lot of people stop. Well, I'm glad I'm saved, and I'm glad I have the Holy Spirit in my life, but I don't want to surrender my life to Him. I don't want to turn my life over to Him. I don't want to turn everything that I have, my family, whatever, over to Him. I don't want to do that. But you see, God promised the Holy Spirit to us. That's His gift to us. Because He knew that without the Holy Spirit living inside of us, we could never be faithful. We could never be a productive Christian. We would never have the courage to witness of this Savior who died for us, who gave His life for us. You see, we'd never have that. And God knew that. And that's why He said, you know what? I've got to put my Spirit inside of you. Because if He is an external Savior, like Jesus was, then He's always an example, but He's never a life-giving force within us. But the Holy Spirit is that power and that life and that person that energizes us to obey God. And to do what God's called us to do and be. But I want you to notice another thing. And that's the purpose of Christ's gift to the church. You know, to me it is very obvious that one of Satan's primary strategies to thwart God's purposes and to weaken the church is to get church leaders and church members to ignore God's gift of the Holy Spirit. Satan's done a masterful job. Most churches never think about the Holy Spirit being the one who gives life and energy and power and strength and purpose to do the will of God. Most churches, and I think most Christians, are of the belief that if it's going to be done, we've got to do it in our strength, in our wisdom, with our planning. And so Satan has done this masterful job of weakening the church by simply getting us to not think about the Holy Spirit that much. And so when that happens, the church is not empowered to live any differently from any other group of people that gather. The Holy Spirit's not working. If the Holy Spirit's not free to move, if he's not welcomed, if he's not looked at and looked upon as the one who makes the difference. You see, God intended it that way. You see, without the Holy Spirit, this could just be a gathering of people who have a similar belief system, who have similar values, who find friends or fellowship here. Without the Holy Spirit, the church is just another gathering of people. But you see, God intended it that way. You see, he intended that unless the Holy Spirit was at work in his people and in his church, then it's not going to work. It's not going to work. Their church is dying all over this country. And the reason, I think, or part of the reason is, they've tried to do everything in their own strength. They've tried to do it by themselves. And they've never gotten on their face before God and said, God, unless your Holy Spirit revives this church, revives me, and does what only he can do in this church, we're gone. Just write Ichabod above us. Friend, listen, God intended that his church be empowered by the Holy Spirit that he was giving as a gift to his people. You see, on the day of Pentecost, the birthday of the church, so to speak, that was the beginning of the Holy Spirit's role of empowering and building up the church. Think again about those early Christians. You think they could have accomplished what they did without supernatural help? You think they could have stood against those religious leaders, the Roman Empire, and the oppression that they faced? Do you think they could have stood against that had they not had the power of the Holy Spirit working in their lives? You see, that's why apart from the Holy Spirit, the church has no viable supernatural power in life. You know, you can go all the way back into the Old Testament book of Zechariah. God said it again. He said it's not going to be by might, that is, by my man's strength. It's not going to be by power, that is, by what man can do. He said the only way that this is going to work is going to be by my Spirit. The only way it works. Only way God ever intended it to work. In a church that thinks they can do God's work in their own strength, or if they've got enough money, or if they've got great facilities, or they've got all these programs, if they think they can do all that without the power and work and life of the Holy Spirit, they're fooling themselves. Now I want you to think about this. Why did God give the gift of the Holy Spirit to the church? You see, without the Holy Spirit, there would be no conviction of sin. There would be no new birth, which means there would be no Christians. 2 Corinthians 4:4, the Apostle Paul said, "The light of the gospel shines, but the God of this world has blinded the minds of those that believe not." Now just think about that for a moment. Paul says it very clearly, that the God of this world, referring to Satan, has blinded the minds, the eyes, the spiritual eyes of people. So that even though the gospel is being preached and missionaries are being sent, he said they're still blind. They don't see the truth. They don't see their personal need for repentance. What did Jesus say in John chapter 16 and verse 8? Listen to what he said. He said, "And when he has come," that is the Holy Spirit, "he will convict the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment." So who does the convicting here? Who does the awakening here? Who is it that opens blinded eyes to hear and see and understand the gospel and their need of Christ? Well, the Bible says it is the responsibility, it is the work of the Holy Spirit of God to convince men of the truth of the gospel and their need of Christ. Let me tell you something. This is what I've had to learn. It is not how good a sermon I preach or how bad a sermon I preach. It is what the Holy Spirit is saying to people, and to blind people, to lost people. So when I stand up here and preach, yes, I want to preach as good a sermon as I can, and I want to be as fervent and passionate as I can, but I also know this. When it comes down to a person being convicted of their sin, I could tell the most sorrowful, sad, scary stories that I could think of. And I might get somebody to walk an aisle, but they might walk an aisle and still be lost. It's when the Holy Spirit of God does his work of convicting men of sin, that is, I'm a sinner, convicts them of righteousness, that is, they know within themselves there is no good thing, and they know Christ is the only hope of their salvation, their righteousness. But he also speaks of the judgment. In other words, they begin to realize, you know what, I'm going to give an account of my life. There is a day of judgment. You see, that's the work of the Holy Spirit. A preacher is simply a spokesman. A teacher is simply a spokesman. It's the Holy Spirit who does the work of convicting, of changing, of bringing a person out of darkness into the light. Listen to the Apostle Paul. He says it in such clear language, you can't miss it. When he went to Corinth, one of the most corrupt, vile cities in all of the ancient world at that time, here's what Paul said. "And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined not to know anything among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching," now listen, "were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." You want to know how Paul preached the gospel? He preached it straightforward. He preached it with passion. He preached it with fervency. But he also preached it knowing that it is the Spirit of God who's going to change hearts. That's why he would go into a community, he would preach the gospel. If no one responded, you remember that one occasion, he told his disciples, "Shake the dust off your feet. Spirit's not working there. You see, that's why every church needs to ask themselves this question. Do we honor the Holy Spirit? And do we recognize and rely fully upon Him? Or are we the kind of church that, unfortunately, not only ignores Him, but in ignoring Him, we are dishonoring the Lord who gave Him as a gift to the church? You ever given someone a gift and they didn't like it? Remember when your kids were little and you maybe gave them something they didn't like it? They let you know. And you also want to get them around the neck. But just think, God gave the gift of His very Spirit to you and me and to the church. And what if we just ignore it? I don't need that. I've got Jesus. I don't need that. I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't need Him. I want you to listen to a quote, and I close with this because I think it says volumes about where we are and where the church is today and where believers are. It says, "We have no greater need today than to be informed about the Helper, the Holy Spirit. We need to know who He is, why we need Him, what He longs to do for us and our families, for our churches, and how we can go about receiving Him. Otherwise, we remain orphaned Christians, bereft of His love and of the magnificent fellowship, guidance, and help He can give us." God gave us a gift. Question is, what have we done with it? How have we treated the gift that God gave? Christ gave on that day of Pentecost. He said, "Here it is. The greatest gift that I could give to the church is my Spirit living and working within you." Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You this morning for Your wonderful gifts. The gift of Your Son, Jesus, and the gift of Your Holy Spirit. I pray, Father, as we live our lives, as we worship as a church, as we minister as a body of Christ, I pray we would never, ever get beyond the realization and the fact and the truth that we can do nothing of ourselves. Unless the Holy Spirit is working in us and through us, we accomplish nothing. But when He is alive and at work and free to use our church, our people, our lives, when we acknowledge Him and invite Him to take control of all that we are, to take control of our church, our ministries, then we begin to awaken to what God really intended. That is His Spirit, to be the administrator, to be the guide, to be the life and the power that the church needs. Lord, I simply ask in my own life, and I ask in the life of this church, that we might surrender ourselves to the control of Your Holy Spirit and allow Him to take control and do what He desires to do in each of us and through our church. God, thank You for this wonderful, powerful, living gift of your Holy Spirit. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand with me, please?